Thank you, everyone, for joining our webcast today. We'll be covering the live streaming of Sochi, benefits of moving the media workflows to the cloud. I'd like to start by introducing Dan Rayburn, the EVP of StreamingMedia.com and Principal Analyst of the Digital Media Group at Frost & Sullivan, who will be leading our webinar today. Dan?
Great. Thanks very much for having me today. Before we get started, just some quick program notes. We're going to have a live Q&A session at the end of the presentations, but you can ask your questions at any time during the event by simply entering your question in the Ask Question text box, which is located on the left side of your player, and then make sure you hit the Submit button. I'll read questions to the presenters, and if your question isn't asked during the event, we will get you an answer offline once the event is over. Today's webinar and slides will be archived for on-demand viewing, and you'll receive a follow-up email within a few days when the event is ready for VOD viewing. Now to introduce today's presenters, in addition to myself, we have Martin Wall, who's the Principal Program Manager for Microsoft Azure Media Services. And we have Jason Seuss, who's also a Principal Program Manager with Microsoft Azure Media Services. Before we go over to Martin and Jason, I'm going to spend a few minutes talking about what are some of the obstacles that content owners are facing when it comes to delivering live content in the cloud, and also some of the solutions and what the values are out there in terms of actually doing that. So the first one is OTT video, especially for live. It's very complex. So one of the things you have to look at, one of the biggest challenges, is you have to get the right content to the right device, and that always isn't easy to do. There's a lot of different device profiles. There's a lot of different delivery technologies. It definitely requires specialized technical expertise. So what you're going to be hearing about today from Martin and Jason is how they worked on the Olympics, in addition to other customers that are using cloud-based ecosystem services. There's a lot of options in the market today. So whether you're a broadcaster, let's say you're an OTT provider, an MSO provider, there's a lot of different ways to ingest, store, transcode, manage, monetize, protect, deliver, and track content. That's basically the online video ecosystem. Live events, however, are a different beast. Producing a global live event is a lot more challenging. You only have one shot to get it right. Studies have shown that live events drive much more user engagement as a general rule. So with live, there are different expectations that consumers have. You obviously want to deliver a good quality video to that user, but you also want to deliver the right quality video on the right device, and you want to have good interactivity and a good user experience. So live events, for those who have done them before, you know it's a lot different than doing video on demand. And that's something where a cloud ecosystem can really help you, because when it comes to the capital investment that you would have to make for such a short duration special event, especially if it's a one-off event, you know, you're not doing it every month, you're doing it once or twice a year, it's very hard to estimate how much you're going to have to invest, because you don't know how many people are going to come to the event. You don't necessarily know what type of quality you want to deliver in, because there's many different options depending on devices, what quality you want to target, what type of bitrate you want to use, are you doing adaptive bitrate streaming. So the capital investment is pretty high for one-off events. You also have to have redundancy built in. That's a big thing with live events as well. So that's really where cloud offers a huge advantage, any cloud-based ecosystem, over having to do it yourself, the capital investment and the redundancy. Compared to on-premise deployments, especially for TV Everywhere workflows, cloud is definitely more effective from a reliability and a redundancy and also a cost efficiency manner, because cloud solutions, if set up properly, can scale instantly to handle whether you have, you know, 10,000 viewers or all of a sudden you have 50,000 viewers hitting. That's the benefit of using a cloud-based solution. So over the last, I'd say, 12 to 14 months, as an industry, we've been hearing a lot more about cloud-based solutions, which is good. Now, the term cloud, it's very generic. It means a lot of things to a lot of different people, just like the term CDN, Content Delivery Network, very broad term. So for a lot of the first couple of years, I would say that cloud services have been in the market. Some people have not viewed them as reliable. They've been scared about security or scale. And those concerns are really fading pretty quickly now. When you see events like we just saw with the Olympics being delivered through an entire cloud ecosystem, That shows you that the cloud is reliable if you're using the right partners in the market, which Microsoft is going to talk to as well. You can tie in an entire ecosystem to the cloud. So whether you're ingesting content or transcoding it or having to deliver it or manage it, how do you take a live feed and then all of a sudden make it available as a VOD or just chop it up so you have just pieces available? That's really the benefit of the cloud. So the cloud, like it or not, it's going to continue to disrupt traditional workflows. So that's why media companies today are really looking to leverage and exploit cloud-based ecosystem capabilities because of the cost savings, the reliability, the redundancy. And for many customers, they don't have the technical expertise in-house to put all the different pieces together. They might be really good at transcoding, or they might be really good at media management, but very few organizations can be very good at all the different pieces that are required in the ecosystem stack. So with that, with my little outline here, I'm going to pass it over to Martin. And Martin and Jason are going to go through about for the next 20 minutes talking about the Olympics and some of the ecosystem pieces in place. And then we're going to come back to me and we'll do Q&A with everybody. So Martin, over to you.
Thank you very much, Dan. And it's an honor and a privilege to be talking to everyone on this webinar. So I want to pick up right where Dan left us off and really talk about what we think of here at Microsoft Azure Media Services as some of the real driving factors as to why Microsoft has really been at the uppermost of pushing a platform that can help solve a lot of the challenges that Dan just spoke to. So the first part, of course, is, as Dan correctly stated, there are so many platforms, devices that are in the marketplace today, endpoints that are technologically savvy consumer audiences and business audiences have become very accustomed to. Cisco Mobile Data Networking recently said that in the year 2016, which is really less than 2 years from now, there'll be more devices on the planet than there are people. And these devices are very capable and certainly capable of displaying moving pictures and audio in a way that has now enabled video to be distributed across a variety of different endpoints. So whether you're a broadcaster or a sports league, whether you're a corporation that has content that you want to distribute, or whether you're any number of different, one of many organizations that is really seeing in video the latest and newest form of communication, you want your video to be on these devices. And doing that is very complicated. Obviously, all of the endpoints that are in the marketplace today have been built by different manufacturers. Those manufacturers are different using form factors. They have different resolutions and screen sizes, and they all support different streaming protocols. This makes it quite complicated if you, as a content owner or a content distributor, want to reach the largest digital audience possible. And so, therefore, one of the benefits that we can look at as to what a cloud can offer is really take the burden off of you from having to decide how to reach the devices and rather let the cloud optimize for you and deliver it in the right format. Now, of course, you as a content owner also have a number of other key issues that are very important to you, and among them are how can I protect the content that I've invested in and built, my creative ownership and my rights, and how can I monetize that content? And again, this is true regardless of who you as a customer are. If you're a customer that's delivering to consumers, you might be looking at subscription models. You may be looking at advertising. You may be looking at if you're an enterprise customer or a company that is looking to distribute to their employees, security and access, authentication of users, and encryption of that content may be very important to you. You may also have certain restrictions on where and when and how and on what devices that content can be seen and played. And so, therefore, you have issues such as geo-blocking or digital rights management or other very big concerns that are important to you. So, again, it's not just about getting the content to play well at high quality on all the devices. It's also about managing your business and tracking it. So analytics, the ability to manage your user experience, the ability to pull back data and to figure out what is working and what isn't working, what content is very popular for you and your customers, again, whether they're internal customers or external customers. So what we have done is really optimize for the use of the cloud. And, of course, here at Microsoft, our cloud platform is known as Microsoft Azure. And Microsoft Azure is currently operating across 16 different regions in the world, offering businesses all kinds of cloud-based services, from storage to high compute processing to database and identity management, email, and other forms of communication. But we also have focused quite significantly and invested quite a lot in the area around media services, and that is companies that have to design and support and manage video-based workflows where you can take advantage of the power of the cloud to really distribute your content to all these devices, but to do it in a way that is meaningful and complies with the business requirements that you are in. We think that the cloud offers quite a lot around agility. We think the cloud offers a lot around scalability, reliability, and we also are very committed to the fact that as the cloud options become available to our customers, that it be done so and offered at a very cost-effective manner. So these are some of the driving reasons why we at Microsoft are focused in this area. You know, Microsoft is clearly not new to the media space at all. We have been providing on-prem technologies in the media area for many, many years, both in our devices, in our operating systems, and server components. But now we have migrated most, if not all, of those technologies to our cloud platform and have really innovated and enhanced it. And that's what Jason and I are hoping to spend a few minutes talking to you about, particularly as it applies to how we've used that technology to really drive some of the world's most complicated and probably most scalable media workflows, such as the 2014 Winter Olympic Games, which just took place in Sochi, Russia. Now, before I hand it off to Jason, I do want to give an opportunity to identify and explain exactly what we mean when we say Azure Media Services, because there's a very specific set of functions around what the cloud is offering today and what we're offering to the market today. So in this diagram, what you see are basically six bucket areas of functionality that we are offering from the cloud platform, starting from left to right. The ability to get your content into the cloud via cloud upload. And again, your content that we're talking about may be files that you have edited and truncated and produced, or they might be live streams, which of course is what we're going to focus on in today's call. The ability to get that content into the cloud securely, quickly, and stored in a way that can be used for the functions that follow is a very key area of Azure Media Services. The next area is around encoding. Of course, that's the digitization of content as it enters the cloud and its ability to be turned into standard formats that can be supported by all the different devices in the market today. Of course, encoding is very process intensive, and we think that the investments that Microsoft has made already in cloud allow us to really optimize and drive the cost of encoding down. Again, this is encoding whether we're talking about file-based encoding for VOD delivery, or live real-time encoding, which is, of course, what we've used to deliver the Olympic Games. The next big area is around packaging. Now, packaging is an area that has come to light mostly due to the fact that, as I mentioned, the device manufacturers and the different endpoints in the market today are all very distinct from each other. And so in order to play your video and your audio on all of these different devices, in the past, you've had to package each one of your pieces of content or your streams individually in what was typically known as static packaging. But we have invested quite substantially in optimizing the cloud to do dynamic-based packaging. That is to say, to deliver a stream of content to a device on the fly, changing the packaging format depending on what the end user device happens to be. So if you're using an iPad to deliver your content, we'll deliver it in one format. If you're watching your content on an Xbox or on a browser running on a laptop, we'll deliver it in another. Really, we're trying to take the burden of complexity away from the content owner and really put the power of the cloud behind you. So in this way, and what we'll demonstrate in just a moment, we were able to deliver, for example, the Olympic Games to reach all device endpoints at the same time without having to add any complexity to the workflow. Now, the next area, of course, is around content protection. And this involves encryption technologies, digital rights management technologies, and various user authentication approaches that really help the owner of content feel very confident that the business models that they are looking to move forward with are supported by the cloud. And what the cloud can do, of course, is offer dynamic-based encryption. We can host security keys and licenses to really drive your business forward in an easy, cost-effective manner for you. And we can ensure that the content that you store and stream out of the cloud is delivered only to those endpoints, to those customers, to those businesses that you have a business relationship to deliver that content to. The fifth area is around live and on-demand streaming. Now, as Dan correctly mentioned, we never know how large any particular audience for a piece of content is going to be. It may be a video that is very popular in the consumer market. It may be a piece of content that an enterprise creates that all, say, 90,000 employees are required to watch at the same time. Or, of course, it may be a very popular music or theater or sporting event, say, like the Olympic Games, which can drive audiences in the millions. So the ability for our streaming component to scale, to be elastically scalable and support audiences of those sizes is very important, but it's also a critical component of what the cloud can offer. And of course, I think Dan mentioned the importance of redundancy and failover. That too is a part of this workflow, because each one of these components is reliant on the one before it. So we need to make sure that we can always have backups and failover capabilities to support the live or on-demand streaming that we are offering today. And then the last bucket area is around content distribution networks, CDN, and player client frameworks. These two areas work, of course, together quite nicely because the experience that you want to offer to your endpoints, again, whether you're talking consumer players or enterprise players, you want to control and brand an immersive experience. And whether that is different controls, different images, social aspects of it, tracking, or potentially even advertising, the player client framework that we support today at Microsoft and with our many, many partnerships that we have built around an ecosystem are all critical. Now, the content distribution network, of course, is an area that helps get your content to all the different geographies that you wish to distribute your content to and do it in a very cost-effective manner. And so Microsoft has our own CDN that we offer today in the market, as well as a working relationship with all of the major CDN providers, third-party providers in the market today so that we can plug in this workflow and allow you to use those CDNs as well. These six functional areas work sometimes together and sometimes independently, and we have many customers that we are working with today that have built custom media workflows where they pick and choose which one of these areas they want to use. In some cases, they use one or two, and in some cases, they use them all end-to-end. I think the most important part to take from this is that really the goal is to really find that area that the cloud can optimize and make most efficient in your business, and then work to create the workflow that hits that end goal. And I should lastly end with the fact that, as I mentioned, we have a growing partner ecosystem. So we work with many companies that have been in this space for many years and have come to the cloud and worked with us to create virtual versions of the technologies that they offer. Maybe that's around encoding, sometimes that's around digital rights management or encryption, and sometimes that's around player client technology. All of our partners we work with together to really help our customers get an end-to-end offering so that they can build the workflow that makes the most sense. Now, I'm going to turn it over to my colleague here, Jason Seuss, who I think is going to really enlighten us on the great experience that we used in using these six different functional areas to deliver probably one of the most exciting sporting events that happens every other year. And, of course, in this case, we're talking about the Winter Olympic Games from Sochi, Russia. Jason?
Yep. Thank you, Martin, and hello, everyone. Again, my name is Jason Seuss. I am the PM owner within the engineering team, the Azure Media Services team, and I own our streaming services, both live and VOD. I've also been the technical architect and project manager for our engineering involvement in the Olympics going back to the Beijing Games with NBC. In the first place, I wanted to start in talking about the Sochi Games is the scale numbers behind the event. A large part of our interest in the Olympics and why we've been involved in the Games since Beijing is due to how it really pushes the envelope as far as the scale of the infrastructure needed to fully cover all that is involved in covering the games for 17 days. It's really a perfect case study for the elastic scale that the cloud provides. For the Sochi games, we had 5 rights-holding broadcasters that used Azure Media Services to broadcast the games, most notably NBC Sports here in the U.S. Those 5 broadcasters were spread out across 4 different continents, Europe, North America, South America, and Asia, and combined they reached a population of 900 million in 22 countries. So the first benefit that we were able to provide through Azure and Azure Media Services was the ability to offer our services in the region of each of those broadcasters. So for each broadcaster, we lit up the infrastructure that they needed redundantly in 2 data centers in close geo proximity to their customers. So as Dan mentioned at the top, anytime that you're talking about live streaming, redundancy is a very critical aspect. You don't get a replay on the Olympics. If your stream goes down, you can't go to the IOC and say, can you repeat day 5 for me? So having that ability to redundantly build all that infrastructure across 2 different geo-diverse data centers is a very important aspect of what we can offer in the cloud. The next benefit we were able to provide is the scale of the channels that were needed to cover the incredible volume of content that the Olympics generates. For those 17 days, we stood up 204 HD-capable channels, and through them, the broadcasters generated 10,000 hours of programming, which all needed to be archived in real time so it could be made available immediately for VOD viewing. None of the broadcasters involved do anything even close to this scale outside of those 17 days, so it was critical for them to be able to spike to the scale without making the massive capital and operational investment needed to stand it up on their own. It was stood up through a few API calls into our platform and then immediately teared down after the games. So in other words, we enabled a model where they could essentially just rent the infrastructure that they needed for those 17 days, get it stood up, and then walk away very quickly afterwards. The other pivot on scale was the audience size hitting the infrastructure. You know, as has been mentioned earlier, it's often very hard to predict the size of the audience that you'll see on any of these live streams. And as live has a tendency to generate very large concurrent audiences as opposed to VOD. For instance, with the Olympics, we had everything from very minor curling matches all the way up to the U.S. versus Canada semifinal hockey game, which set a new record for the largest authenticated audience. We had about 920,000 concurrent users at peak on NBC's coverage of that. And then combined across all of our broadcasters, we saw around 2 million concurrent connected to that streams. So next, I want to talk about the workflow that we assembled for NBC Sports for their coverage of the games. The other broadcasters' workflows were very similar. All of the Olympics multilateral contribution feeds originated at the International Broadcast Center in Sochi. That's where all the feeds were aggregated and digitized and made available to the broadcasters. NBC collected the feeds there and backhauled them to their production facilities in Stamford, Connecticut, using redundant fiber paths. There, the multilaterals were joined with 15 additional unilaterals, essentially the simulcasts of their broadcast channels, and the combined 51 feeds were sent to iStream Planet in Las Vegas. In Vegas, iStream Planet reflected the feeds to 2 geo-diverse Azure data centers, as I mentioned earlier. So in the case of NBC, they used U.S. East and U.S. West on the East Coast and the West Coast of the United States. The feeds were encoded, closed captioned, and ad insertion markers were added, and the streams were packaged and archived for VOD viewing. From Azure, the content was then pulled by Akamai for distribution to consumers through client video players that were built for each of the supported platforms by Adobe. So one of the things I want to highlight is, again, as Dan mentioned at the top, the ecosystem that we were able to stitch together. This wasn't a completely Microsoft or Azure-based workflow. It involved many different best-of-breed partners that were assembled together to provide an end-to-end cloud-based service to provide the services that NBC needed. That's it for me, so I'll hand back to Martin, but I'll be available at the end for QA about the Olympics.
Thanks, Jason. Before I leave the workflow slide, I want to just highlight that a lot of the technologies and features that were used during the Olympic Games are now forming the basis of the platform that we're going to be making available to the public for our public consumer or our public enterprise customers moving forward this upcoming fall. So in this case, what you can see here are a lot of features which really you can glean are the basis of our upcoming live release around encoding, around the capability of doing dynamic transmux to the different formats, around the ability to support a rich set of feature clients from a variety of different partners, as you see, including Adobe or companies like Ooyala, the ability to use mix and match your CDN choices, the ability to do live to VOD instant conversion and cloud DVR capabilities. So all of these capabilities are forming the basis for the live service offering that we have, and it is based on this that customers such as NBC Sports are actually moving forward today with the launch of digital channels using the cloud to deliver this content. So you can go on your iPhone, your Android phone, your iPad, or even if you have Windows 8, and download these apps. The app is called NBC Sports Live Extra. And in this case, what you see is all of the NBC Sports franchises, that is the content that they have licensed, and all of the content that you see delivered there, whether it is live or whether it is on demand, is all being distributed using the same cloud infrastructure that Jason just spoke to. In fact, I think it's quite notable that for the Olympic Games, you might think that we would have created a separate infrastructure to support those events. But in fact, NBC and the other four broadcasters is using the same production infrastructure that today is running as part of the Azure cloud. So NBC Sports, I would say, is a customer that we see is, quote, all in terms of their ability to reach to digital devices, to reach digital audiences. And I think particularly in the case where they have recognized, as have many other organizations, that the time and money that in the past it is traditionally taken to spin up and launch new linear channels or live event support, which can sometimes be in the cases of multiples of months and hundreds of millions of dollars, can now potentially be spun up virtually within minutes. It is not surprising to learn that the 204 channels that was created in support of the Olympic Games literally can be spun up and started within minutes of each other so that new events and new content can be delivered. And I think that's probably one of the more revolutionary areas around the use of the cloud in live workflows that is really going to change the game in terms of making the ability for businesses that utilize video to really optimize and move their own business models forward. So we are very excited about the partnership that Microsoft has with NBC Sports. And we are also very excited about the fact that since the Olympic Games, nearly 75 different organizations have already stepped forward saying that they want to begin to their migration to use the cloud for streaming of their content. Again, whether that's on-demand-based content or whether that is live-based content. In some cases, it's enterprise-based content, such as Fortune 1000 companies that have said, I want to do CEO-style town hall meetings, or potentially live employee training. And sometimes it is around universities that are doing remote and distance education, government agencies looking to do events and on-demand programming, and every manner of organization around the planet that really sees in video the way that they're going to communicate with their customers, their vendors, their partners, and their employees. So I want to go ahead and close this portion of the presentation, at least the part where we speak directly to you with the prepared remarks, and just say that we are very excited about being able to talk about and deliver the Azure Media Services platform, and We are looking forward to our upcoming releases that will really enhance and innovate the features that we can offer. So Dan, I'm going to go ahead and toss it back to you.
Great. Thanks, guys. So let's go into the Q&A portion of the event. If you have a question, please do send it in. Simply put the question in your question box there on the left side of your player. Then make sure you hit the submit button. So the first question here is, this person wants to know, while the workflow discussed today was all about live streaming, can the same cloud-based solution set also be used for video on demand?
So I think the answer is absolutely yes. In fact, the on-demand workflow, and I'm just going to just fly us back to the slide which I had the different bucketed areas. The six bucketed areas that are pointed out here are absolutely usable for on-demand workflows as well. And in the case where you particularly some organizations have built over the years very, very large content libraries which are sitting perhaps some on tape, perhaps sitting in reams and of disks or hard drives, they are beginning more and more to find that they can push them to the cloud at very low cost, store them in the cloud, and then begin to monetize those content libraries in a variety of different manners and stream that content out and reach all the devices that are in the marketplace today. So by all means, we have many customers today, possibly many more customers today that are using our on-demand workflow for the distribution of their content. One case in point that we have made public is our partnership with Blinkbox of the United Kingdom. Blinkbox offers one of the world's leading over-the-top on-demand movie and television delivery platforms, and they are running today on the Azure Media Services Cloud to both store, encode, and now stream their movie and television library content to about 3 million customers in the UK every month.
Okay, next question. A couple questions around Android, naturally. With the difficulty in delivering live streams to Android devices and all the different flavors of OS for Android out there and the problems with HLS streaming, can the Azure Cloud solution deliver content to Android, and if so, how?
Yeah, we can take a couple of different cuts on that one. So specifically in the case of the Olympics, again, we work with Adobe in their Primetime framework, client framework, to build Android clients as well as clients for all the other platforms. So in the case, again, of the Olympics, we were delivering HLS, which is what that framework consumes. Another cut I can take on that is, you know, if you want to just natively deliver to the Android devices that are capable of consuming HLS, we have within Azure Media Services support for both HLS V3 and V4. And then we also have other partners that have client frameworks as well, for instance, Uyala.
Okay, question for Sochi regarding Sochi. When you were delivering this content, was only Azure being used for the delivery component, or were there multiple CDN partners that you were sending the streams to?
So in the case of the Sochi games, our distribution partner was Akamai. They were servicing all five broadcasters that we worked with. So Azure CDN wasn't actually used in that case. Each of those broadcasters opted to use Akamai, who they had existing relationships with.
And you mentioned earlier that some of the services in the ecosystem are coming. A lot of people are asking, is there any dates or anything you can say regarding when those services will be made available?
Yeah, so the offering that we have in the market today is twofold. We have a full range of on-demand capabilities for customers doing on-demand workflows, and that's available in the market today. So that's completely GA. Pricing is available on our website, azure.com/media, and is fully available. And we have right now been running a private preview for about 75 to 100 different media organizations around the world who are using our live streaming capabilities to work towards building their custom workflows. We anticipate going from that private preview into a more public preview this upcoming fall. which will enable our customers outside of those 100 to really begin to test and build those custom workflows. And then we anticipate late this calendar year making that generally available to all of our customers around the world with a committed SLA and as well as full pricing.
Great. Question here on redundancy. Perfect question here talking about the value of the cloud. This person wants to know, during the Olympic streaming, were there any situations where redundancy had to be leveraged to address failures, and how was that experience around having to use the redundancy?
Yeah, we actually had one case with NBC where we actually had a fiber cut. So essentially the fiber that was leaving iStream Planet and going to our US East data center. I don't know if anybody remembers, but on the East Coast, there was quite a bad storm that went on during the games, and that resulted in an outage in that fiber. So in that case, we basically did a seamless failover to US West that I don't think anybody even noticed. So we were, as I mentioned earlier, we were pushing all of the feeds in parallel to both US East and US West. So everything that we were doing in East was already existing in West, so we rolled over there without any loss in service.
Okay, next question. This is a good one. This comes from a service provider. They want to know, can they create a single Windows Azure account and then do sub-accounts that they can resell to their clients?
Yeah, so there's various ways that you can structure your accounts within Azure. Usually you start with an account, and then within that account you can have what are called multiple subscriptions. So what I've seen with most of our ISV partners is they will create a different subscription for each of the customer that they're servicing, and then billing is rolled up through those subscriptions so they can see what each of their customers are consuming in order to then forward on a bill for their resale services. So that's generally how most of our ISV partners are structuring.
Okay, next question. Realistically, how soon after a live event is in the cloud can it be made available on demand?
Actually, for us, there is absolutely no transition from live to VOD. And during the live event, we're archiving to persistent storage, and we don't even actually change the URL as we go from live to VOD. So actually, when the live event starts, you can publish a URL. If a consumer joins and DVRs back, as the event ends and you stop that live stream, they can keep consuming. People can join through that transition. So it's absolutely a seamless transition from live to VOD.
And I should add as a comment to that, that in fact, part of the desired experience that a lot of our customers want to have is the ability for you as a consumer or as an endpoint to join a live event already in progress, and then have the ability to pull, you know, a little control bar to the left so that if you missed the event that you just joined, you can use the power of what we call cloud DVR to buffer up the content that you missed and start it all over again while the event is still going on. So even better than waiting for the entire broadcast to be entirely completed, to scroll back at your leisure and watch what you've missed, even while that live broadcast continues on live with the other participants. So this feature is certainly very popular for being able to offer that seamless TV everywhere, anytime convenience, but also part of what the cloud can really offer based on what Jason was describing as our instant ability of taking video content and store it and making available, as well as streaming it in parallel.
Okay, this person wants to know, they say the numbers that you gave out for the Olympics are both super impressive and also very modest when compared to live TV viewing. Do you expect that there's going to be a time in the future where the demand for TV size audiences are going to be required on the internet?
Well, I think this is, of course, everyone's guess, but certainly a great problem for us in the digital space to want to have. I think we all can recognize that traditional TV viewing, that is what organizations like Nielsen is reporting, still shows that there is a very large and probably long-lived market around traditional television viewing through cable and satellite and terrestrial means. But I think that what we are finding in terms of what our customers are reporting to us in terms of research as well as consumer behavior is that the ever-growing presence of these devices suggests that, yes, audiences for digitally viewing content, that is watching on mobile devices, on game consoles, on connected TVs, PCs, and so on, continues to rise, so that audiences like we saw well now into the millions with the Olympic Games, audiences that we continue to see being present in digital capabilities around events like the Super Bowl or the Academy Awards or live events that happen in real time where everyone wants to watch it at the same time, continues to go higher and higher and higher. And so while I don't know what day it will come when the audience of a over-the-top event, an internet-delivered event, will reach into the hundreds of millions, I certainly am bullish to think that that is the direction that the industry is headed. And so therefore, it is our intention here at Microsoft Azure to support and build the infrastructure capable of supporting events that scale to that level. And, you know, we honestly think that we are well positioned as Microsoft to be able to invest and to do that. And the way that we are building these architectures are designed precisely to enable audiences that are reaching into the tens, if not hundreds of millions, sometime into the future.
Yeah, and the two other points that I would add to that is we continue to see year-over-year exponential growth in the consumption of live video. So I think a trajectory certainly adds some credence to what Martin just said. The other thing I would say is that we've already crossed a very significant threshold within the 18 to 24-year-old category where they are consuming more video content in over-the-top fashion than they actually do on traditional television sets delivered through traditional means. So I think that's another really good indication of the direction that we're heading.
Okay, let's go on to a couple questions I'm going to group together here about costs. So some people are asking, is this type of solution something that only, you know, can be afforded when you're doing this, a live event the size of the Olympics? Others are saying, one of the values of the cloud that we mentioned before is significant cost reductions, but where do those savings really come from? So while it's hard for you to give out an exact price because there's different features and functionality and scale that people need, and it's kind of like saying, what does a new car cost? Well, a lot of differences there depending on what options you want. Can you spend a few minutes talking about the types of customers that can use this solution, who it's targeted towards, and what are the different components of a live event that make up what the cost will be?
Sure. I think in terms of the different types of customers, I would completely agree with the audience and the question, the person asking the question, that while it may appear that this is targeted at a very, very large type of organization like a major broadcaster or a global network operator, in fact, the infrastructure and the way that we have designed this is really intended to be used by any sized organization, because the way that we are pricing and the different components that comprise the solution are intended to be specifically a la carte and priced at a way that is very cost effective. So when you look at, for example, streaming on-demand content, such as a library, maybe you have a library of 1,000 hours of content that you're looking to distribute to a, you know, select group of audiences, whether that's a niche area, whether that is a, you know, local sporting organization or an educational entity, or maybe you're a company, a mid-sized, smaller mid-sized company looking to train your employees at franchises around a particular geography, or whatever your area of focus is, we think that the cost for storing that content, for using the cloud to encode and transcode that content, and then using the cloud to stream and deliver that content is priced at a way to be very affordable to you, literally pennies per gigabyte in order to store, and to dollars in order to be able to encode, and again, pennies again to be able to distribute that content. So this is not intended to be only used by the largest and most wealthy organizations, certainly by no means. We think, in fact, what the cloud has done is it continues to drive the cost of delivering events and on-demand content down to a very cost-effective way. So far, so much so that I would argue that we can now very competitively compete with an on-prem instantiation of the same sorts of offerings and be much more cost-effective, offer much higher levels of reliability and scalability than you could do by buying the equipment and hosting it and storing it yourself and not taking advantage really of what the shared infrastructure that is part of what Microsoft Azure Cloud is doing. So I think in summary, there are a variety of different customers that we are working with today. As I mentioned, some are in government, some are in entertainment and sports, some are in news and advertising, some are e-publishers, some are website owners, some are education and medical. So there's quite a lot of interest around the delivery of content using the cloud, but certainly at a cost-effective way that really makes sense for their business. And that's really sort of the goal of what Microsoft Azure, as well as Microsoft Cloud Services as a whole, has really been driving at over the last many years.
Yeah, no, I guess the one additional pivot that I would add to that is, in some aspects, the cost-effectiveness of the cloud actually is more pronounced for the smaller and medium-sized organizations that may not have the really high utilization of their infrastructure like an NBC Sports would have, who's running events every day. You know, they small organizations may only have one event a day or one event a week. So maintaining an on-premise infrastructure wouldn't be very cost-effective for them. And one of the things that we're providing to them is essentially the ability to rent that infrastructure on an hourly basis so they can use it when they need it and only pay for what they use. So I think it's some real benefits out of that.
Okay, we've got time for a couple more questions. So if you have a question, please do send it in. I just pushed a slide here to everyone where you can see the contact details for Martin and Jason. So if you have a question for them afterwards, you can reach out to them directly. Here's a question around players. Is the Azure platform that you're providing here, is that including a player for the customer? Are you providing a way for them to actually deliver this content to devices with player functionality, or is that something where they have to develop the player themselves?
I can share with you that we have worked with a number of different models. So the first part is that Microsoft has a client player framework which we make available to our customers, actually the code of which is offered through our MSDN sites at no cost to Microsoft customers. So that allows them to take advantage of code and player development that has already been done. A lot of the features that are and functions that are most commonly used, whether it's going full screen or the ability to go backwards or forwards or to pause, to be able to mute and or bring up closed captioning capabilities. So all of these sort of, I would call sort of basic player features already are available today, and the code for that already exists, and customers can use that code to modify, brand, and create their own versions of that. We, of course, as I mentioned earlier in the call, really also have quite a nice partner ecosystem, and we work with companies like we mentioned Ooyala, we mentioned Delta Tray, we mentioned, and there is a whole variety of other companies. NBC worked with Adobe even, for example, so if a customer has a particular relationship with another company that they want to use their player, then that's fine too, and we work to combine and support those players as well. So whether it is customers who want to use an already ready-to-go off-the-shelf player that we have available today that runs on all the different major device manufacturers, that's obviously very key, and that exists today, and you can go to our website to get links to get information on those player clients today. Or you can work with a partner who has player clients out of the box. And, of course, I have a number of other customers around the world who do work with third-party developers and ISV partners who really customize and build that immersive experience that really gives them precisely what they're looking for, whether that is particular tracking, particular sets of analytics, the ability to insert advertising, add social commentary, depending on what your model is, even player clients that work specifically in the corporate enterprise space. For example, I have a number of enterprise customers who want to do live event streaming inside their own firewalls in their corporate networks. And of course, in that case, corporate bandwidth management is very, very important to them. And they want to be able to optimize the bandwidth, but still deliver a streaming experience inside the corporate firewall. So for that, we also have partners that we work with that offer that kind of technology. So it's quite a wide spectrum of player options that we work with, and the goal here is to provide the most custom availability of these options for our customers.
We've got time for two more questions. So the first question here, maybe you guys could spend a minute or two addressing a couple different questions around content security. Obviously, content security is important to broadcasters and content owners. So what type of security solutions are being offered? This person wants to know specifically, is PlayReady DRM part of the offering? And what are some of the security solutions that Microsoft is also recommending, whether it's, let's say, authentication versus actual encryption?
So I'll start with the first part. So part of what we have brought to the cloud is to optimize and to make available some of the Microsoft technologies that have been built around the space. So today, yes, we do offer Microsoft's PlayReady DRM as a solution that is available to be delivered from the cloud, both to encode and encrypt the content at real time, as well as to work on offering solutions to allow that to be done at runtime using dynamic encryption capabilities. And we support both the Microsoft DRM for customers that really require that high level of protection and management of how their content is to be used, as well as a lighter weight form of encryption, which is AES clear key encryption. So for our customers who are looking to encrypt the stream as it exits the cloud and all the way down to the player client, we can provide an AES option for them as well to do that either statically or dynamically from the cloud. Also, of course, as many folks know, that part of offering a secure solution is the management of keys, the key delivery that goes with the managing of licensing keys. And so in the past, that has been something that a customer would have to manage on their own, that is to stand up servers that manage all of the licensing keys and make sure those servers are available 24 hours a day so that at any time any client around the world wants to run content, they have a server to interact with. That too is shifting to the cloud, and we are offering that as a service, as a hosted service that is available for our customers if they wish to be able to allow the cloud to manage and host and deliver these keys from the cloud and take some of the burden of managing that away from them in an on-prem environment. So that's part of the encryption secure solution. I think also in terms of just architecturally, it really depends on the different models, the business model that our customers are working with. As I mentioned, we work with both enterprise customers who have secure access and user authentication as very key requirements that they want to build into the architecture. Therefore, we work with a number of ways to build identity management and user authentication into a combination of both the player client as well as to a server that can authenticate them. We integrate well with Microsoft's Office 365 and SharePoint Online, for example, in order to allow for that to serve as the front end for managing user authentication into content that's stored behind the SharePoint farms or the secure servers. So that's another model that our customers are using. Jason spoke to you as during the Olympics, NBC in particular was very keen to require a level of TV Everywhere authentication. That is to say that as you logged in to get their content, you were required to log in to whomever your cable and or satellite provider was in order to prove that you had subscription credentials. And so again, that was another model that was used. Optionally can be used for delivery of content. So I think there's a variety of different models that we work with today, a variety of different partners. Some are Microsoft and some are third party that really enable a variety of customed ways to do secure access and secure delivery. The last part I think you asked about was around sort of CDN-like capabilities, that is to do maybe authentication, either token-based authentication or potentially geo-blocking, IP whitelisting. All of these are functions that can be made available, and you know, I think this is It's a best-of-breed solution in many cases. We work with partners, we work with Microsoft internally, and we work with our customers to really build a custom solution. And that's really the goal of what we have done with Azure Media Services.
Okay, we've got time for one more question. If your question didn't get asked today, you can see Martin and Jason's contact details right there on the screen. You can just shoot them a quick email. So the last question for today is, somebody wants to know, you know, what's the best way to get started? Do you have how-to documentation online? Do you have a configuration example with step-by-step instructions? Can they trial the service for free for a certain period of time? So what's the best next step for them?
I think the answer to that is yes, yes, and yes. Certainly, we would invite our anyone listening on the call or any of our customers to take a visit to our website at azure.com/media. And from that website, you get links to not only the ability to download documentation, our SDKs, a lot of the how-to manuals and guides that have already been written. But I also should say that, yes, you can absolutely sign up for a free trial account for 30 days. This is for all of Azure, of course. You can get yourself an Azure subscription, of which media services is one component of that, and give it a try. I should say that we publicly announced that we worked with the likes of NASCAR organization a few months ago, and they started right from the beginning where they had a library of very exciting content that they wanted to publish and get streaming. And in 2 weeks, we were able to get them up and running on a brand new website that they launched called fanschoice.tv. And they are very excited. We are very excited to have them as a customer, but I think it proved that anybody can get started very, very quickly, very easily. You don't have to do a lot of development or coding if you don't want to. We do offer a graphical user interface portal as a way to manage your content. Of course, we think that most of the functionality is best used when integrated through our open APIs, because it gives you the most flexibility and capability. But it is intentionally, we're trying to be as open, as easily to access and get started as we possibly can.
Well, great. Thanks, guys. I'm afraid it's time to close. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. And, of course, I'd like to thank Martin and Jason from the Azure Media Services team. If you would like to review this event or send a colleague to view it, the event will be archived for on-demand viewing. Along with the slides, you'll be able to download those as well. And you'll receive a follow-up email within a few days once the event is available on demand. Today's webinar is now over. Thanks for joining us, and have a great day.